ABC Radio Australia.
Solomon Islands Prime Minister Jeremiah Manele, who says Pacific Island nations are discussing a plan B if Australia loses its bid to host next year's United Nations Climate Summit, COP31. While a decision on hosting rights for the world's most significant climate conference is due by the end of this week, when this year's gathering, COP30, in the Brazilian city of Belém, draws to a close. However, according to some media outlets, the decision has already been made, with Nine News reporting Australia's nominated city, Adelaide, would not host the event. Australia has been unable to overcome a stalemate with a rival bidder, with Turkey, which has refused to back down despite widespread support for an event hosted in Australia in partnership with Pacific nations. Mr. Manele is also the current chair of the Pacific Islands Forum and says he's discussed a backup option with Australia's Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, this week. He tells reporter Liam Fox the proposal has three elements to give the region a prominent role at COP31 if Australia's bid is unsuccessful.
The first one is the possibility of a pre-COP leaders meeting. This is not forum leaders, but global leaders meeting. The second part is the possibility of having a pledging event during COP31. For the Pacific Resilience Facility. In September this year, the region signed the treaty on the establishment of the PRF, the Pacific Resilience Facility, which is based in Tonga. And we look forward to COP31, having the opportunity for us to host a pledging event so that we can get partners to capitalize the PRF. Thirdly, third part of the option is if we can have a dedicated Pacific leader that can lead negotiations in any of the streams of COP31. So these are the three components of that option.
And these are options if Australia withdraws to allow Turkey to host COP31, is that right?
Or if Turkey doesn't give up on its bid. We would like to ensure that our interests as a region are covered one way or the other, and we believe that that option with those components does cover some of those.
What do you think about Turkey's conduct in all of this? It seems clear that Australia's bid has the support of most of the relevant members in the organisation, but yet it's refusing to bow out. How do you and other Pacific leaders feel about that?
It would be very unfortunate if Australia loses out on the bid. I'm not sure whether there are pre-existing arrangements that Turkey has with other countries or with other partners, hence its insistence in terms of hosting COP31.
How do Pacific leaders view the importance of having COP31 in the Pacific?
As a region, it's very important for us because the impacts of climate change are very obvious. In our region, climate change is not—it's no longer a science; it's a reality. And hosting COP31 here would give that opportunity for other parts of the world, for other countries in the world, to actually come and see for themselves the impact of climate change in our countries, in our communities. So that's why it's important for us as a region to host COP31.
And that is Solomon Islands Prime Minister and Chair of the Pacific Islands Forum, Jeremiah Manele, speaking to Liam Fox. For the past 2 weeks, thousands of delegates have been gathering in the Brazilian city of Belém for the United Nations climate talks. COP30 is just shy of wrapping up, but unanswered questions remain on whether a significant agreement is achievable and over who will host next year's talks. But joining us from Belém is Kesaya Baba, Senior Manager, COP31 Strategy and Partnerships with the WWF. I say bula Kesaya and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I do want to start off, Kesaya, I suppose, with the latest revelation that Australia has lost its bid to host COP31 next year. I'm just wondering, what's your initial reaction and what does this actually mean now for the Pacific?
Yeah, Aggie, I believe that actually the negotiations are still ongoing at this time. I understand that there has been some news that says that Australia has lost it. I hope I am not speaking out of turn when I say that negotiations are still ongoing. And as we just heard from the Honourable Prime Minister Manele, there are a number of options on the table that can still be worked out as well.
Yes, and I know that those reports have just been attributed to Nine News with that, latest revelation. So I'm just wondering, why is it so important, though, for COP31, in your experience, to come to Australia and the Pacific?
It's an incredible opportunity to really, first of all, really centre the leadership of First Nations and Pacific peoples in the climate negotiations, but also in everything that happens around the climate negotiations. I say to people that who work in climate and have been fighting for so long and may be feeling very little traction, particularly in Australia, that if COP31 were to come to Australia with all the attention and all the news and all the hopefully funding that come the close of COP31, they wouldn't have to explain to their family and friends anymore about what they're working towards. The importance of climate action will be clear, and we aim to build through that the social license for ongoing transformative policy action and also community action for climate change through that.
Now, I know that there, again, we sort of spoke about speculation, about Australia relinquishing its bid, effectively giving, hosting rights to Turkey in return for a Pacific presence. I mean, again, how much have you heard anything about this?
Well, as with most things in international negotiations, they're moving very quickly, but also very slowly. We are hearing new things all the time. But as you mentioned, Nine News, I did see that report, and we are treating that as unconfirmed still. And what we're hearing here on the ground is that there are still talks happening between Australia and Turkey, and there are opportunities where there could be an outcome that has positive benefits for all parties, including, of course, the Pacific, because Australia's bid to host COP31 is to host it in partnership with the Pacific, of course. So as Honourable Prime Minister mentioned, there's a number of options out there, but we will have to do a lot of work still, no matter what the outcome, to ensure that Indigenous leadership really remains there, and that we also, address the top issues that are really coming out from all of our conversations that I've been lucky enough to be part of, and WWF has been fortunate to be part of, where we're really hearing four key themes that we want to come out of COP31. And these could happen anywhere, but really the underlying the cross-cutting issue of centering that Indigenous leadership, but then also three other key issues, which is addressing fossil fuels and phasing out fossil fuels in a just and equitable transition. Linked to that, of course, renewable energy and the transition there, as well as nature-based solutions and making sure that we're connecting climate and nature, because they have been seen as so different in so many ways. And so we've there got those three issues of ending fossil fuel extraction and use, of nature-based solutions, of the renewable energy, and underlying that Indigenous leadership and cross-cutting as well, finance, which of course is a huge and important factor of COP31 coming to the Pacific, would be the opportunity to draw attention and finance for the challenges and solutions that we know we have.
And with all of that, having yourself be at COP for the past week, does it really look like countries are actually making progress towards an outcome that will benefit the Pacific?
There is a lot of work to do. So my father was actually at the, I guess you would call it the -1 COP, the Rio Earth Summit that led to the UNFCCC. He was there as an Indigenous Pacific delegate. from Fiji. And, you know, the COP30 decisions that happen here, just like that one, COP30 will shape the planet for generations to come. And I hope that my child is not going to be having to come and advocate here for the same things. But if at COP30 we can reach some agreements, then that will have a huge impact on addressing, you know, achieving the Paris Agreement, and so that we can stabilize warming at 1.5 degrees. But we do see that the negotiations are deeply divided on some key issues. And the current draft texts that are coming through are weak and need a lot of improvement and work. The COP30 presidency is the one who has that role to drive this and bring agreement on these key matters too.
Yes, thank you for that, Kasaya. Well, again, if you've just tuned into Pacific Beat, my guest this morning is Kasaya Baba, Senior Manager, COP31 Strategy and Partnerships with the WWF. We are speaking, of course, the outcomes and what has been happening at COP30 for this year. Kasaya, you know, you are part of the civil society. Are you allowed to be present or actually, like, you know, share your voice during the negotiations?
The civil society delegates are generally go to COP on what we call a party overflow badge, which I know sounds really fun, but it indicates that we have been allocated a badge by the Australian government, but that we do not represent necessarily the Australian government and cannot negotiate on behalf of the Australian government. So for me in particular, I am on a party overflow badge. And so I'm able to get into the negotiations. And that is really key, particularly for civil society from the Pacific, who are providing a lot of technical support to their government delegations. It's very important that there is that access to the negotiations and to be able to observe and to pass information and advice onto governments. For those on party overflow badges, for example, for the Australian government, we work more by creating and building our relationships with the Australian government delegation and with other delegations to demonstrate support for particular issues, for particular text, and to then get into the negotiations that way.
Mm. Well, while we still have you, I do just want to reaffirm for our listeners out there that Nine News have reported Australia has lost its bid. However, there's been no formal confirmation. It's obviously still a fluid situation, and we will keep our listeners posted. Now, Kasaya, for you, what would be a really good outcome, you know, from COP30? I mean, in the sense of what would you call a success? Yes.
The COP31 bid is absolutely a key thing for a lot of us here, particularly from Australia and the Pacific. And there is such a lot of support for an Australian COP that is hosted, or the presidency is the most important thing, right? Not even the hosting, but there's so much support here from around the world for Australia to have the presidency in partnership with the Pacific. And so it would be an amazing outcome if there were to be a negotiation that sees Australia and the Pacific have elements of the presidency of COP31 at the very least. But we will see what the official announcement is going to be, and then the work continues. And then as for, you know, everything else that is going on at COP, we do not want to take away from the incredible work that is being done by governments and by civil society, and even by everyone who has come here, for the indigenous Amazonian peoples who demonstrated outside and inside of the COP venue this past week. We are acting in solidarity with them. And so that incredible work continues. And particularly for WWF, we see that there need to be two roadmaps. The COP30 presidency has been very focused on some roadmaps. And we would like to see two complementary roadmaps on, number one, the transition away from fossil fuels, and number two, halting and reversing deforestation by 2030. you know, in the heart of the Amazon, we want to see some agreements from parties to make sure that there are some outcomes here for forests, so that we can continue to keep those lands safe as well.
Oh, look, Isaiah, that is all the time that we have for this morning, but we really appreciate you being able to give us some insight as to what has been happening there at COP30 in Brazil. So again, thank you very much. That is a Senior Manager, COP31 Strategy and Partnerships for WWF Australia, Kesaya Baba here on Pacific Beat.